News outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, reported Friday that UW-Madison was in the process of reviewing its graduate business degree programs. And in this soul-searching period, it could result in the shuttering of its two-year full-time MBA program. That is no longer the case. The school announced yesterday that that plan is off, but not before some fallout. There were headlines like the one in Fortune, "What's Killing U.S. Business Schools?" University of Iowa, Wake Forest, Simmons College, they've all shed their traditional two-year MBA programs. Nico Savage has been all over this story. He is the higher education reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. Nico, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, give us some play-by-play here. What has been happening in the School of Business at UW-Madison?
Sure, yeah. I mean, this sort of started back on Friday when, as you mentioned, the Wall Street Journal broke the news that UW-Madison was considering closing the full-time MBA program. I was able to obtain an email from essentially the assistant dean who oversees MBA programs at UW. It was an email to current students in which he said there were discussions underway that could include discontinuing the full-time MBA. That led to a sort of wave of concerns from students and alumni who were wondering about what that would mean for the value of their degrees, what that would mean for the future of kind of business education at UW. By Monday, which was when Dean Ann Massey kind of gave a presentation to current MBA students that outlined UW's plan in more detail, that gave a lot more specifics and talked about what the plan was. You'd had kind of word and discussion circulating about it for days. Finally, yesterday afternoon, we found out that the business school was backing off the proposal. They said they're no longer going to pursue what had been the plan, which would have been to suspend admissions to the MBA program for a year during a long-term review of essentially the business school's offerings. They are no longer going to be looking to do that, and for now, it would appear as if the full-time MBA is safe.
And Dean Massey, you said in your article, issued a clear apology, you know, saying, "I take full blame on this." What is this apology for?
Sure. So essentially the apology this was a fairly prominent feature of her presentation to students. Now we weren't allowed inside of that meeting, but we're able to obtain a recording of it from some business school students. Essentially, the first, five or so minutes were her and another business school official saying, we are sorry, we didn't do this rollout the right way. And what they were referring to is, apparently earlier this month, some word got out that there was some discussion of the future of the MBA program. There were some rumors that had been swirling in the business school. And then you had, like I mentioned, the email from last week from the associate dean basically saying that these were the discussions that were underway, and that led to another wave of sort of concern from students and alumni. So, I'll mention as well, last week as this story was coming out, we really weren't getting very many specifics or very much clear information out of the business school as far as what exactly was being proposed. We didn't really get that until Monday, and neither did students or alumni, and I think that's where the sort of apology was coming in.
So does this mean that the full-time MBA program is safe, or is the UW still thinking it may phase it out or shut it down?
Right. That's a good question. I mean, what we know is that they're no longer pursuing this current plan that would have suspended admissions. But Dean Massey said we are continuing, discussions about strengthening our programs and what they're going to look like in the future. So, I think the door would appear to be open, and whether this will still be the case that they don't want to pursue it in the coming years is certainly a possibility. I asked a business school spokesman yesterday if they were kind of shutting the door on that plan for good, and I never heard an answer back. So, we'll see where that goes. But I think at least for now, in the near term, this year, that plan is not going to be going anywhere. It doesn't seem like.
Talking right now with Nico Savage. He covers higher education for the Wisconsin State Journal. He's been covering this evolving news out of UW-Madison School of Business about its traditional two-year MBA program. First, last week, it was announced that they would be suspending the program for a year to reevaluate it. Now that suspension appears to be off, the program moving forward as business as usual, perhaps. Nico, what has been the sentiment coming from students and faculty? There was supposed to be a faculty vote on this next month.
Right. Yeah, it would have been up to faculty to approve or reject the plan. You know, certainly from students and alumni of the program, they've been very vocal. Many of them in opposition to the idea. There are about 750 people who signed a online petition calling for UW to keep its full-time MBA program. A main sentiment that I was hearing from students is essentially the concern that, you know, if Wisconsin shutters its full-time MBA program, how much is a degree from that shuttered program going to be worth? You know, they mentioned, you know, one student told me, you know, we all left jobs to come to this program, to enroll at this program with the idea that it had a certain value. And you know, now the kind of reputation of it is at stake. The concern being, you know, you go to an employer and you say, I have an MBA from Wisconsin. And they say, well, didn't Wisconsin shut down that program? So that was a big concern. There were also concerns raised that canceling or shutting down a full-time MBA program could hurt UW's membership or end UW's membership in an organization that seeks to boost diversity in business schools and corporations. And it's a consortium of different business schools that's a part of that and only works really with two-year traditional full-time MBA programs like the one that UW would have been shutting down.
So a two-year traditional MBA program is where students go to school all day, and so they really can't be holding down a full-time job on the side or going to just night and weekend courses. Traditional means you're in it full-time?
Exactly, yeah. You're a full-time student. You know, kind of what you think of as going to college, going to grad school in a full-time capacity. So UW does offer some other types of MBA courses, some evening MBAs, sort of part-time student offerings. Those would not have been affected by this proposal. And in fact, what, you know, a lot of higher education experts say is that that's the direction, those more flexible programs is the direction where a lot of business school education is going right now, that students don't want to essentially pause their careers for a couple of years, leave what might be already decent paying jobs and, you know, pause that for a couple of years to go to school. They want the option to, you know, earn an MBA on the side. They want the option to earn it in 1 year as opposed to two. That's where a lot of folks see the growth in the MBA sector, and they say that, you know, students on the national level are sort of moving away from that traditional two-year model that Wisconsin was considering suspending.
So as you cover this story, what happens next? Is this issue going to be going away? Do you see this evolving in the future, more coverage here?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. I mean, I think the question now is essentially what happens in this review of programs. You know, does that because you do have the business school saying, you know, we're going to continue our review of what we want to do with the future of our programs. So taking a look at what that's going to include, whether that includes any cutbacks to the MBA program will certainly be a big question. It'll also be interesting to follow, you know, what this means for Dean Massey. She actually started at UW in August. So this would have been a big kind of first change for her during her tenure as dean. And it was one that the business school wound up backing away from. So what does this mean for her future going forward?
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes in these situations, if a proposal backfires or there were leaks or it didn't execute correctly, I mean, that can really compromise an executive, can it not?
Sure. I mean, this was certainly a case where sort of word of this proposal was trickling out. You had some half confirmation of some plans. You had a lot of uncertainty among students and alumni, and you get the sense that it might have ticked off a lot of alumni. And certainly this was one where and the deans acknowledged the rollout did not go the way the business school was hoping for it to. So what impact that could have as far as relationships with alumni and that sort of thing, we'll have to see.
Well, Nico, thanks for bringing us up to speed.
Certainly. Thank you for having me.
Nico Savage covers higher education for the Wisconsin State Journal. He's been covering this evolving news out of UW-Madison School of Business and its traditional MBA program. First last week saying it's going to be suspended, and now yesterday saying, nope, that's not the case. Join in 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. According to a report this year by the people who administer the GMAT, the test you take to get into MBA programs, the Graduate Management Admissions Council found applications to business schools overall have declined over the past few years, but this is not the case across the board. The top-ranked business schools are seeing a massive influx of interest from students. Yale University School of Management has seen a 45% increase in applications since 2013. MIT's Sloan School of Business is up 28% over a three-year period. We're looking at news out of UW-Madison's two-year MBA program. Last week, it was going to suspend the two-year traditional program. Yesterday, news broke that this will not happen and the traditional MBA will continue without interruption. Join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of UW-Madison's change of heart on its traditional MBA program? Did you go through the program? If you're getting your MBA right now from the UW, how do you feel about what is going on? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now let's bring in John Byrne. He is the founder of the Oakland, California-based Poets and Quants, which provides news and analysis on business schools and MBAs, and the former executive editor of Business Week. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, you've written a couple pieces about what's going on at the UW. What's your reaction to the news that it's decided not to suspend its traditional MBA program?
Well, I think it's a wise decision. We think they're losing a little under $2 million a year on the program. That is not unusual. Most MBA programs, in fact, run at a loss. They tend to be flagship programs for business schools. And they run out of loss for a variety of reasons, some of which are related to rankings. Schools are out in the market aggressively buying high GMAT scores to rise in the rankings, and the result of that is they're basically running these programs for prestige and reputation rather than for a typical reason you'd run a program would be to run a surplus to fund other operations.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by out in the market buying higher rankings? What do you mean by that?
Well, what's happened, there are some macro trends that indeed has affected the number of people who want a two-year residential MBA program. And I think Nico and you covered some of those macro trends fairly well. But underlying all this, at the top of the food chain, and Wisconsin is at the top of the food chain, it's ranked among the top 50 U.S. MBA programs consistently. The return on investment of that degree is very high because the tuition is quite low comparatively. But what has happened is that even the very best schools, the schools that you mentioned earlier that are having increases in their applications and have not had declines, are throwing millions and millions of dollars a year into the market to get higher GMAT scores. Now, a higher GMAT score does this for you. U.S. News is the most important ranking in the United States, And those rankings impact not only application volume, they impact alumni donations, because alumni feel really good about a school if it's ranked higher and it's going up. They even affect your ability to recruit faculty. And, of course, they reflect on the overall prestige of the institution and how well a particular dean is doing. So what's happening in the market is that every school is upping the game, meaning they're raising more and more money and throwing more and more money to discount the sticker price of their tuition. The most extreme example of this would be Harvard Business School at the very top of the food chain. Every year, now Harvard is spending $35 million in MBA scholarships. Now, to put that in perspective, their entire MBA program has only 1,800 people in it, and only half of them are getting scholarship aid. So that means that Harvard Business School, a school where, frankly, kids would sell their mothers to get in, and they wouldn't, they'd borrow every penny they would. Would need to go, right? So 900 kids a year are getting $35 million in scholarship aid from Harvard Business School. There are a lot of schools that are at free rides. In most cases, the discounts on the gross tuition that you might see could be anywhere from 30% to actually over 50% at a school. And other than Harvard and Stanford, which claim that they are giving out scholarship aid on the basis of need, every other school is doing that on merit, meaning we want to buy a high GMAT, get our average GMAT scores as high as it possibly could, so this way we'll rise in the rankings, because GMAT score is a key metric in U.S. News' rankings.
It sounds almost like this economy going on in education.
Yeah, no, it's really true. And how schools got into this, frankly, is they saw that U.S. News ranking having a halo effect on all their other programs. So basically, they convinced themselves that even if they run an MBA program at a loss, they'll make it up in other programs, and that the higher rank on the flagship program, the MBA, however small it is, will be reflected on the other programs, meaning you'll think of the school in the company that in which it's ranked. And so when they do other programs, that's how you'll think of it as well, because the MBA ranking tends to get the most attention. In many cases, the specialized degrees don't have rankings yet. Online MBA rankings are relatively new. So basically, the full-time residential MBA program was the rank, not only for the program, but in the public's mind, the rank for the entire school.
But then what about the University of Iowa that announced in August it was closing its full-time program? What about Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Simmons College, the only full-time female program for MBAs, shuttered? What's going on there?
I think there's some of this is going on there, but then you have the general millennials who went through the Great Recession. They got out of undergraduate school. They have lots of debt already. They have an attitude that's not unlike the people who came to the Great Depression in the 1930s. They're more cautious. They're more conservative. They saw their parents in the relative struggle through the Great Recession. Some of them may have graduated and struggled to get that first job, and now they have debt already on their shoulders. And they're much more reluctant to sign up for a two-year program, quit their job, and pay what they consider to be the sticker price, because, you know, there's little transparency into how much you're actually paying here in higher education. And so a number of them are deciding not to do it. Another reason is the quality of undergraduate business programs, which are exploding in growth, has become really good. And a lot of employers, frankly, would prefer to hire an undergrad who would be much less expensive than an MBA. And then you have the proliferation of these one-year, they call them pre-experience master's degrees, because they don't require work experience. And what's happened is all your liberal arts majors who are now having trouble finding a job go into these one-year programs, and you can specialize in things like supply chain management or data analytics, or a finance or accounting or any traditional business discipline. You go for 1 year. You obviously, therefore, you only have to lose earnings for 1 year if you even have a job. And it's a lot less expensive.
Oh, so that's siphoning off students from the traditional program.
Yeah, it's cannibalizing the market for full-time MBAs. And then you have the proliferation of online MBA degrees where you don't have to quit your job. And those degrees, which, you know, years ago, they were not very legitimate, and people like Phoenix offered them primarily. Well, now you have really solid, good players offering these degrees, and they've gained legitimacy, and they're a true option for a lot of people. And add to all this, all the anti-immigration rhetoric in America has scared off many international applicants who have been covering up to some degree the decline in domestic applicants in recent years. So now you have international applicants who, frankly, are afraid to come to America for their education. And you have the problem of H-1B visas, meaning that if they want to come and ultimately work here, that's not an easy road. There are very few companies that will sponsor international applicants because the paperwork is horrendous and it's a big, long process. So the international applicants are falling rather dramatically in the last year and a half, and that's made the decline a little more obvious than it had been.
We're looking at the market forces, the trends, the world trends going on right now with traditional MBA programs with John Byrne. He's founder of the Oakland, California-based Poets and Quants, which provides news and analysis on business schools and MBAs. He's former executive editor of Business Week. He's been writing about UW-Madison School of Business, which has decided not to suspend its full-time MBA program, a change of course announced yesterday, backing off last week's announcement that it would, for 1 year, suspend its program to do some soul searching. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Did you pass on a full-time MBA program in favor of an online or one-year alternative? Are you a student in the MBA program here at UW or an alum? What do you feel about the UW's position on its traditional MBA program? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Jeremy in Racine. Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I believe your guest has already answered my question in regards to how the tech colleges are competing with the UW systems. To kind of take it a little further, as far as from my perspective, I'm currently enrolled in supervisory management. It's a two-year associate. It's an accelerated course online, so I'm able to continue to work full-time and take it at night at my somewhat my leisurely times. After that, I'm able to move on to business management and transfer some of the credits that I've received from the first two-year associates into the second associate's degree program. So it just seems it's more flexible. It fits my schedule, and it's far more affordable to obtain these degrees and this background versus going to a UW traditional school. My employer is stoked about it. They're actually going to be helping me with some tuition assistance as well. So I just, when it comes to looking at a UW platform versus a local technical college online accelerated course platform, it just seems the technical college, it's just more pliable for me.
John, how would you respond to that?
I say it's a wonderful world. You know, there are different programs for different people in different phases of their life. And if you want higher education, and I believe it to be a very good and positive investment, particularly in the area of business, you can find the program that's going to fit your lifestyle and your needs. And as I mentioned before, I think that one of the macro issues here is, in fact, the increase of options that provide more flexibility for students who want to keep their jobs and don't want to quit. The two-year MBA program is a special experience. You know, they often use the term transformative. The truth is, it is transformative. It's one of the few degrees that literally allows someone who's approaching 30 or just a little over 30 to reinvent him or herself. many of the people who go into a two-year MBA program are so-called career switchers. Some of them are what we call triple jumpers. They change geographies, they change discipline, and they change industry, and the MBA degree allows that to happen. The Wisconsin program is a terrific program. It's a great school. Wisconsin is at near the top of the food chain. They're among the top 1% of business schools in the world. The in-state tuition for the MBA program is really low. The sticker price is less than $18,000 a year. And even for an out-of-state student, it's quite low. The sticker price is like $35,000 a year. And I have to say, it's sticker price because we think that Wisconsin is basically offering scholarships, discounts that are worth well over $1 million in that program. So
you can pretty much cut
20% off those sticker prices, and that's what you would pay for Wisconsin MBA. And let me add this. The median starting salary for Wisconsin MBA is $100,000, and that does not include a sign-on bonus of $17,000, that's the average, that 80% of the graduating students receive. And if you look at the employment report of the school, they are going to world-class companies that are among the most highly admired companies in the world, places like Amazon, Dell, Deloitte, General Mills, Intuit, Johnson & Johnson, Kimberly-Clark, PepsiCo, SC Johnson, Land's End.
So John, you're able to show that there is a clear return on investment for these students who do this traditional approach of dropping their job, stopping their career, and saying, I'm going to go headfirst into a traditional full-time MBA program, that will reap rewards when they come on the other side of that, graduating from that MBA program. But then we just talked about how millennials are really squeamish about putting more money out when they are already in debt. So, you know, how do you negotiate that where you see the numbers and there is clear return on investment, and yet maybe the numbers don't exactly reflect that for all students?
Yeah, I think at the top end of the chain where Wisconsin is, the ROI is undeniable. The payback on a degree, let's say from a top 100 school, generally can be achieved between 3 and 4 years, meaning the whole thing can be justified by your increase in pay. But more importantly, it's more than about pay. It's about getting the job that you want and getting a job that's more meaningful to you and more professionally fulfilling. And that's what an MBA degree can do. It really is. I am a true advocate for this degree.
We can tell.
I believe in it. I've seen the results. I've also seen the research. Now, the research shows that people who go and get a two-year MBA degree, their satisfaction levels are off the charts, always high. And you don't even have to go to a great program like Wisconsin to have high satisfaction levels. But there are these other concerns, and they are meaningful concerns and worries. But ultimately, if you just push the macro trends aside, what you see is schools are running programs in the red. There's probably only a handful of schools that are in the black. Harvard is in the red. Stanford is in the red. Wisconsin is in the red by only a little bit. In fact, you know, how this decision came out and how it was dealt with is pretty much a story of a bungled plan.
Let's put the pause button here for just a moment. We have to go into our news break here, and we want to extend the invitation to callers, 800-642-1234. What do you feel about the UW's position on its MBA program? Join in the conversation or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The Wisconsin School of Business was founded in 1900. It has more than 35,000 alums. News broke last week that the school was about to suspend the traditional two-year MBA program to reevaluate it. 763 people signed an online petition to protest this move. Yesterday, the school announced it's proceeding as business as usual, and it will work to strengthen its two-year traditional MBA. So an about-face there. John Byrne has been watching this, writing about it. He's the founder of the Oakland, California-based Poets and Quants, which provides news and analysis on business schools and MBAs. He's former executive editor of Business Week. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the sea change here by the UW-Madison Business School? Do you find value in your MBA? Do you think it's made a difference in your career and in your earnings? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. John, we pressed the pause button here when you said the UW really botched this suspension rollout. And by the way, we did reach out to Dean Ann Massey to invite her on the program, and she declined. But what went wrong here, do you think, by the dean's office?
It's unclear who actually initiated this proposal. Was it the dean or was it the faculty? And the dean has made herself unavailable to all of media to really explain how this came about and to give some context around it. So I think Nico did a good job in explaining a time frame of what happened, how it got leaked. It was unanticipated that it would get leaked and made public. Then the school had to scramble, and it scrambled in a poor way in putting up a very vague and bland statement that satisfied no one. And then you had the opposition occur from alumni and students and the uproar that caused the school to reverse course. My guess on this, because Anne has not been there all that long, is that this is something percolating among the faculty who, after all schools in higher education are under great pressure. State funding has declined dramatically. And Iowa's decision to walk away from its full-time MBA program gave some cover to other Big Ten schools to think about this as well, because, as I said before, MBA programs tend to lose money. But here is the dirty little secret about business schools, and including, I think, the background on this decision. The program that's losing the most money at Wisconsin is not the MBA program, where the losses might be $1.5 to $2 million, at least direct losses. The program that's losing the most money is a PhD program that's losing about $7 million a year. Now, here's the deal with a PhD program. At Wisconsin, there are about 63 students in it. If you want a PhD, you have to go to school for 4 to 5 years. Everyone who goes for free. There are full tuition waivers for at least 4 years and usually five. There are monthly living stipends. There's comprehensive family health insurance. There's reimbursement for travel to conferences. There's additional scholarship support to supplement these already generous packages. And then that doesn't even include the cost of the senior faculty, who literally are paid $300 or more a year to lead seminars with fewer than a handful of these PhD students at a time, the administrative cost of the support staff for a PhD program, the building space, the tech support, and it goes on and on. And now, why do schools do this? They do it in part for academic respectability. If you ask them why they would do it, they would say they can't recruit quality faculty without a PhD program. That's really not true at all. And you have other Big Ten schools that, in fact, have cut their PhD programs in half. The reason why they didn't touch the PhD program and they went after the MBA program is because the PhD program is the sacred cow of academia. And the people making these decisions, the faculty in this case, I believe, are self-interested and have a vested interest in the protection of that program. And so rather than cut what they should have cut if they are dealing with scarce resources, they cut the MBA program. Now, here's the thing about the MBA program, even though it's losing money. PhD students, none of them are hired by the university that grants the degree. They go off in the distance and they disappear in the woodwork. They never give money back to the school. they obviously don't recruit students because they don't have the wherewithal to work for employers who can offer employment. They don't start companies in the local community. They don't mentor or coach existing students. They don't recommend applicants, either undergrads or graduates, to go to the school. And they don't go back for executive education that helps the school in other ways. You know, Wisconsin is unique in one way. 10 years ago, 13 alums banded together and gave the school $85 million to, guess what, not do a naming gift. So the reason why the school doesn't have a name on it, and it's simply called the Wisconsin School of Business, is because alumni, generous alumni, banded together, gave the school $85 million, not to name itself. And this is a good example of the tremendous support that alumni give business schools.
Well, let's bring in
You get none of that in the PhD program.
We've got calls here, John. Let's bring in Mark in Appleton, who'd like to speak here. Mark, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call and also covering this topic. I wonder whether your guest is maybe not aware of what's actually happening in the University of Wisconsin. I mean, a recent decision to merge the two-year campuses to the 4 years was made without any faculty, any kind of shared governance. So it seems quite possible to me that this decision was not made by the faculty, but rather by the dean in secret, which is how many other decisions have been made. But my main point is I think this maybe reflects just how bad off the UW is after tuition freezes that were not paid for by added funding and massive cuts to funding. And so we see this with the merger. We see this throughout the University of Wisconsin. And I'm really grateful that this at least has been covered, because a lot of it has happened with very little public knowledge and coverage.
Mark, thanks for the call. John, can you speak to that? The cuts around the university impacting the UW?
Sure. There's no doubt that state funding cuts, which have been draconian in many states, have affected higher education in a very big way, and that's really what's behind a lot of the big tuition increases. In the business school, that's less of an issue. In this case, I very much doubt that Ann pushed this proposal forward, and I'll tell you why.
Dean Ann Masson.
The dean. First off, she's been there less than 3 months. And this is the kind of thing that you would be much more thoughtful about doing if you were a new dean, because you know it's going to be highly controversial. And the last thing you want to do is leak it out. Just the fact that it got leaked out will dramatically affect the number of people who apply to the school this year, will hurt the program this year, because the applicant pool will not be as good as it was. And now you got a bunch of alumni who are pretty angry, and the alumni really support this school, as I pointed out before. So, and there was an FAQ on the school's website, and it spelled out the decision-making process for this proposal. And basically what that FAQ explained is that the faculty actually had the final vote. It seems to me that it's possible that the dean may not have even had veto power over this.
Well, and
but because no one is speaking publicly, we don't know.
Right. Right. So, Mark, thanks so much for the call. Let's bring in Bob in Milwaukee. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'd just like to say I have an MBA. I've had one for a while. It's been economically valuable to me. However, that said, that's all window dressing. There's a hoop to jump through. It was done as a checkbox to be checked, and I think, in general, the MBA program lacks intellectual integrity. There's really no organizing principle behind it, other than the fact that there may be some disparate and various skills that are cobbled together to form a degree. So I think the University of Wisconsin should stick to its knitting, get back to funding public education in sciences and humanities.
John, go ahead.
Well, there are a lot of MBA programs out there, and there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. The Wisconsin program is a good program. I happen to think that MBA programs add tremendous value. Generally, what happens to a student who enters an MBA program is you are steeped in the basic fundamentals of business, accounting, finance, operations, strategy, marketing, and then those different disciplines are brought together in an integrated way to give you a more general manager perspective on how business operates. Business today is not less complex. It's not simple. It's more complex and more sophisticated than it's ever been. It's more competitive than it's ever been. And the need for knowledge and the need for intelligent frameworks to make smart decisions is greater today than it's ever been. And that's what a good MBA program delivers.
And John, in the next 30 seconds, that's all we have left. What will you be watching for next as this proceeds here at the UW School of Business?
I actually think that what's happened to Wisconsin is going to scare off other schools that may have been considering dropping their full-time MBA programs. If you have a rank, if you're in the top 100, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to make this work and work well for you. I think, you know, Wisconsin will get over this. Dean Massey will get over this, and it'll be a good lesson for everyone there.
Well, we'll end it right there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
John Byrne is the founder of the Oakland, California-based Poets and Quants, which provides news and analysis on business schools and MBAs. And he's the former executive editor of Business Week. Earlier in the hour, we talked with the Wisconsin State Journal's higher education reporter, Nico Savage, about this. And as we said earlier, we did reach out to Dean Ann Massey, inviting her onto the program, and she did decline. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina, with technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.